Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. All right, we've got an ambitious plan for this podcast over the next week, but I think we're going to be able to pull it off. So here's the deal. As all of you listeners know, we are amped for the home stretch of this 2021 college tennis season, round of 16 play beginning on Sunday in Orlando. I am hoping to be on the ground there starting Friday, and of course, we will provide all of you with draw previews, recap of last weekend's action, all of the sort of content you've expected from us. We're going to deliver on that, but I am also hoping to speak with all 32 remaining head coaches in the draw. Yes, men's and women's sides. I have already reached out to all of the sports information directors. They have all been fantastic. I think the majority of them have gotten back to me with at least one response, if not multiple responses. And can I promise we're going to hit all 32? No, I can't. But I do think we're going to get at least half of the field, get a nice assortment of both the men's and women's teams remaining. And obviously, that's the sort of content we hope to deliver most to all of you fans. Talk to the people still alive in this event. Get a feel for how these coaches are feeling about their teams heading into the final week of the college tennis season. On today's podcast, we kick things off with a familiar favorite here on our Cracked Interviews podcast. You used to know him as the interim head coach of the Baylor men's tennis team. We now know him as the head coach of the team. The official announcement made over the past week, Coach Michael Woodson getting the full-time job, much deserved after what a 31-4 start to this 2021 season. His team, the number 2 overall seed. We talked to Coach Woodson about what's been a fantastic year, about how he's feeling about his team heading into the postseason play, how some of their most recent results have this team prepared for the postseason. Then, of course, the fact, you know, they've got a lot of veterans on the team, but some of those veterans making their first postseason run. And so, you know, balancing that dynamic as well. It's a fantastic conversation, as it always is whenever we have Coach Woodson on the show. Of course, before we get to that conversation, I have to remind all of you the reason we're able to do this day in, day out, because of the support we get from you listeners, from our Patreon family, and of course, because of the support we get from our friends at Midwest Sports to get the best equipment at the best prices. Go to MidwestSports.com, use that promo code CR15, you'll get 15% off your order, free two-day shipping on all orders exceeding $75. Best of all, a free can of Wilson Extra Duty Tennis Balls, MidwestSports.com. The promo code is CR15. I will say again, our intention to get all 32 coaches on the podcast this weekend. If you are a player or an assistant coach or an associate head coach, whatever it's called nowadays, volunteer coach for one of these programs, and you think your head coach hasn't been reached out to yet, bother them. And then feel free to DM me at GreatShotPod. I tried to contact all of the sports information directors, go through the proper channels, but I'm not beneath, you know, taking the back channel route as well. If for some reason you haven't gotten my message, please feel free to reach out at GreatShotPod. Again, trying to go for all 32. It will be considered a success if we get at least half of the field. But for now, we start out with a familiar favorite, Baylor men's tennis head coach, Michael Woodson. Who's your trusted source when it comes to your facility questions, concerns, and needs? Ours is Hartrue, the world's largest manufacturer of tennis court surfaces, equipment, and accessories for over 90 years. Partner with their trusted team of experts, along with collegiate greats Jamie Loeb, Alex Rybakov, and Dustin Taylor, to bring the surface provider of over 30 professional events annually to your facility. Whether it's the red clay of the Houston ATP, the green clay courts of the Charleston WTA, or the official hard court of World Team Tennis, Hartrue has you covered. If you're looking to build a court, convert a hard court to clay, or simply resurface your hard court, work together with Hartrue in their mission to lead the tennis industry by creating better places to play. To learn more about their state-of-the-art surfaces, along with their catalog customizable on-court accessories, check out Hartrue.com or call 877-442-7878 today. That's Hartrue.com or 877-442-7878 today. Joining joining us on the podcast now, a man, I hate to say it, but I think we're stuck with for the next few decades, no longer the interim, now the head coach of the Baylor men's tennis program, Michael Woodson. Coach, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on the title. How are you feeling?
I certainly feel pretty good. You know, it's always good to secure your family's future for at least a little while that Baylor's going to stick with me. And so excited to remain here at Baylor with the family in Waco, and obviously super proud of what the guys have been able to accomplish. I mean, all credit goes to them and the staff. They lift me up every day, so really pleased.
Yeah, that sort of professionalism in that answer, that's why you got the gig, Coach. That's scripted to a T. But, of course, no, it's the correct answer. And you look at your team now, 31-4 on the year, Big 12 Conference Tournament champions. How are you feeling headed into this round of 16 in Orlando?
We're really excited. You know, it's been fun to see some of these guys tick boxes, you know, in their collegiate journey that they haven't been able to before. And just the appreciation that they each have for going out there and competing day in and day out together has been a lot of fun. You know, obviously at this point, there's so many quality teams that didn't make it to Orlando that we really feel, you know, super fortunate to be in this position to play in another match. I feel like at this point, we've probably seen just about everything and everyone. So, you know, just really looking forward to an opportunity to compete against one of the nation's best teams in Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about getting to see everyone. I think that's a really interesting note, because when we spoke before the season, there was so much up in the air about, you know, how much tennis would you actually get to play this season? How many matches would your team get in? You look at your schedule, your record now, 31-4. 35 matches is a pretty healthy sample size. When you look at how often your team was able to compete, do you feel like you guys have seen it all and you're about as prepared as you could be heading into the round of 16?
I really do. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I would have said we've seen it all before this weekend, and it
sure
hadn't. We had like crazy wins on Saturday against a team that plays in the wind every day. And so we actually got the best version of Corpus, which I thought was really a huge positive for us. And then on Sunday, we had a lightning delay where there was some confusion over which app we should be following and how far the lightning was away. Next thing you know, we're inside. You know, there was momentum each way on the courts, depending on how you look at it. So I don't know if it helped or hurt us, but the tone that we were able to set when we came out against Oregon inside was really, really good. And so I felt like that's going to serve us well. I'm sure there's going to be some rain with all these teams in Orlando. And we were so lucky in 2019 to never have to play inside that I'm sure we're going to get hit hard. So I'm glad our guys were able to kind of get used to that.
No, but I was going to say that and the love bugs, Coach. We all have to get used to that again, right?
I mean, yeah. I meant about love bugs. Yeah. The facility was built next to a swamp. So I think.
So. Yeah, no, that's good. That's fair. Yes, and you know, again, looking at your team, and I'm trying to be efficient with my questions here because we could chat for 2 hours on all of the success you guys have had this season. But in particular, I want to start because common for framing here when we talk about Baylor at Cracked Rackets is just how broad your pathway is to 4 points in every match. Doesn't matter if you win doubles, lose doubles, could be the top of the lineup, can be the bottom of the lineup. You guys do seem to have an ability to find 4 points in a way perhaps no other men's team can this season. And, you know, the one spot you could say of vulnerability, although if you're 19-10, how vulnerable are you really, is that number three singles position. And yet, when you look at the last few matches, it seems like Sven La is finally finding his footing, finally finding his rhythm, and starting to play his best tennis. I know it's a easy loaded question for you to answer, but do you feel the same way there heading into this round of 16?
Oh, I think that's the one question mark that we've had, you know, for a majority of this year. And I think, you know, when we had a team meeting the other night, you know, Matias said it best. He was like, listen, guys, I mean, they looked at Sven and said, we all know that Sven doesn't feel great about the year that he's had. As an individual, it's not up to his expectations, but he's leaned into his tennis and his training and gotten what he's needed. And the success started with doubles, and it's starting to trickle into singles. And we all know that when the chips are down and it's a moment, that we're going to be able to count on his point. And I could not agree more with Matias. He said it so well, and he just shot an instant amount of confidence right into Sven's veins, and it came out strong over the last 2 days. I mean, his doubles was fantastic, and his singles, I mean, listen, Quinn Van de Castiel is a heck of a player. That guy has an extremely bright future, and Sven made him look silly at the beginning of that match and for a lot of the parts of that match. And as soon as Quinn had momentum, Sven took it back, and I thought played a really gutsy breaker in difficult conditions as we moved inside, because I would have seen Quinn certainly better indoors. And so, yeah, I mean, he's playing his best tennis right when we need it. I don't think he's there yet, but probably by the middle of next week, look out.
Yeah. That's the scary part, is it really, you could tell throughout that Oregon match, he did start to find his rhythm. And if I were you, I would have worn the same green that they wore just to screw with everyone, because it could have been very, very funny from my perspective. But no, you know, you look up and down the lineup and it's crazy, because 21-5 at number four singles, 31-2 at number five singles. I don't want to say I told you so about Charlie, because I think everyone said that about Charlie, but I told you so, coach. And then 28-3 at the number six singles position. Obviously, those guys, Charlie, Nick, Spencer, they've all been outstanding. And yet, I think for all three of them, it's their first NCAA round of 16. And so, you know, they're fifth-year seniors, but they're still in their first go-round heading into Orlando. I guess, is there that excitement, that nervousness with that comes with a first run like that, despite, you know, it, them being fifth years?
You know, it's actually their first time winning a round in the NCAA for any. And so, you know, I think there was that that little bit of jitters, especially in the first round and moving into the second for each of those guys. And thankfully, you know, the other three guys, it's not their first rodeo, and they've handled the situation quite well. You know, and I think that combo of them having the experience, you know, they haven't played in the NCAA tournament before deep, but they've played in big matches, and they've played in a lot of big matches this year. And they just have, it's so easy for these guys to look around and feel like, well, our team's probably more complete than the other team. And so I'm going to feel a little bit more relaxed knowing that I don't have to win, that my team is going to pick me up. And that usually leads to better tennis. So yes, there is definitely excitement about it, but they're not that excited because they have a job to do. They're just locked in and ready for that.
Absolutely. And from a coaching perspective, you're never going to say, oh, we're happy we took that loss. But the late season loss to Texas, does it help you from a coaching perspective to say, see, guys, you know, we can lose? Does it help steady the ship in a season that you're, you know, you're 31-4 to remind everyone, you know, we can be beaten?
For sure. No, you need to lose matches. You need to learn. You need to continue to find ways to grow. And that one caused us to have a real heart to heart amongst the guys and the staff and the team about what it was that each of us needed in order to bring out the best of us on match day in tough situations. And I don't think that happens without that loss. Maybe it would have happened later, because I think we probably would have taken another loss if we had have gotten through that match. But it's really righted, you know, some things amongst the team and really pulled out and unlocked really the best that we have to offer as a unit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, again, when you look at what you guys have to offer as a unit, depth is always the word. And, you know, singles wise, I think we know the six that are going to be rolling into Orlando. But doubles wise, you played around all season long, you know, as one would do when you have that sort of talent. And it does feel like we've settled on, you know, Sven and Connie at one. That was always going to be the case. But it does feel like, you know, Nick and Mati at two. And then, of course, Charlie and Finn at three, that you have your doubles teams heading into Orlando. And, of course, we know with the depth, the talent of all 16 of these remaining teams, that doubles point is going to be so super, super crucial, because, you know, while you can win four singles matches, it's a hell of a lot easier to only have to win three. How are you feeling about the doubles heading into Orlando?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the doubles point, you know, it's such a momentum builder. I mean, we do feel comfortable losing the doubles point, coming back and getting four. But, you know, it's just about making sure that our presence is strong, that we're ready to go with good energy at the beginning. And we kind of set the tone of the match in the doubles. And, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to get the combos right. I think Connie and Sven, you know, started out slow because they hadn't been together. Connie was out for a while with a shoulder injury through most of last year, and it's taken them some time. I'm very happy that the staff continued to believe in them and that those guys put in the work, because they're playing incredible tennis now. Nick and Matthias have gelled since the first time they ever stood on a court together. And, through trying out some different things, we just kept coming back to them, and that's worked out really, really well. And Finn and Charlie just have incredible chemistry. Finn's such a strong competitor, and Charlie's so gifted, athletically, that they really make a tough team down there at three, that we feel like, you know, it's sometimes teams feel like they have to get two of the spots, and the third one is not looking so good. I mean, for us, I feel like at any point we're a favorite at all three spots. Mm-hmm. It's a really great feeling, given that, you know, the doubles is a coin flip.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it goes beyond, you know, the lineup. There's singles, there's doubles, there's also what's happening off the court. Do you have who we call RYAN Dickie, Ryan Dickerson, on a strictly green tea diet to make sure the throat is ready for Orlando?
I mean, you know, he leads, he definitely leads the charge off the court. I mean, the guy's done such a phenomenal job as a teammate. You know, he's such a gifted player, and he's done nothing but win for us. And his role has been, you know, I would think for most people a tough one. And I think there's several guys on this team that have had to adapt to roles that, they wouldn't have chosen otherwise. But for this, you know, for the good of the team, they sacrificed, and they've just been such phenomenal teammates. And I would say led by him, you know, at any moment, he's willing to do whatever is needed to give this team the opportunity to have success. And you just can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at these records right now. It's crazy. You have both of Fronson 16-0 combined, Garcia's 7-0, and, you know, Sebastian 13-5, Finn 15-3. Yeah, there's a lot of guys who I'm sure are very much looking forward to getting out there on the court when their time is called. And again, you look at this team, it does feel like you look at the draw, and I'm sure you try to keep it one match at a time, but Ole Miss and then OSU, TCU. Maybe the coaches look ahead a little bit further just for preparation purposes than the players. But, you know, final serious question, heading into Orlando, I assume it's safe to say you guys, number 2 overall seed, 31-4, national championship expectations.
Yeah, we're certainly not going there to win one or play one match. Now, that's not to say that we're not focusing on only Ole Miss right now and match, but this team wasn't put together to make a nice little run in the NCAA tournament.
No, I mean, you're here to win. I would agree with that, and we're very much looking forward to it. And again, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I do have to ask one last question, because I just need to know, what sort of voodoo did you perform to Matt Stachowiak when he was down in Waco? Because all I've heard since he's come back is Baylor this and Baylor that, and I need to know what you did.
I mean, listen, Baylor's a special place. I mean, if you spend a little bit of time here, you're going to love it. I think, you know, unless you're maybe coaching for another school in the Big 12, you're going to have a really good feeling about this place and the opportunity that it provides for you know, potential student athletes here. And, was very fortunate to be able to spend some time with Koviacs. They're a wonderful family, and anything that he says is probably unwarranted, unless it's about the players and the staff that surround me. They just do a phenomenal job preparing these guys and giving them the most incredible experience that we can possibly give them. And it makes it a lot of fun for me, and it paints me in a better light than I deserve, for sure.
I mean, you certainly, again, we started off the top by mentioning the fact that you are now no longer the interim, the head coach, if you don't mind me saying, certainly very much deserved. And obviously, I am very much looking forward to watching you guys compete in Orlando. Still trying to negotiate the COVID protocols, but I believe they are going to be letting me on site. So hopefully I will see you all down there, Coach Woodson. Be safe, be healthy. And of course, good luck to you guys this week.
Thanks, Alex. Hopefully they'll let me on site as well.
Hopefully. Take care, Coach.
Take care.
Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with Baylor men's tennis head coach Michael Woodson. A huge thank you to him, as always, for taking the time to chat. I will say, as we go throughout the course of these, and I mentioned it at the intro, I'm shooting to talk to all 32 coaches. Some of them aren't going to be 15 minutes in length. Certainly early on, when I have a little bit more time on my hands, it's easy to do that. But I'm going to try and shoot for 5 to 10 minutes, just ask the most pertinent questions. Obviously, we'll hope to get all of these coaches on the show again in the future to dive into their careers, dive into their programs, and so much more. But as always, a huge thank you to Coach Woodson for kicking things off. And obviously, we've got family ties here at Baylor. Matt Stachowiak, our family, therefore Nick Stachowiak, or as I call him, Nicky, obviously going to be family to us, so we will be rooting for the Baylor Bears and wishing them health and success here in the postseason stretch, although I could say that about all of the teams at this point, because that's how kind they've been to us here at Cracked Rackets. And again, be on the lookout for more interviews here on the Cracked Interviews feed. We're just going to fly them out as they're released, so you may miss them on the feed, but rest assured we're going to have a link on our website, crackedrackets.com, where you can find all of the interviews as they happen. Of course, we're going to be breaking down all of the action with our analysts, Matt Stachowiak, Chris Halioris, the GOAT, Colette Lewis, on the Great Shot podcast, so be on the lookout for those this week as well. And if you've missed any of our content, you can find it all on our website, crackedrackets.com. You need the more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We are at Cracked Rackets. You want to message me directly, I am at Great Shot Pod. A shout out, as always, to our super producers, Max Flagner and Daniel Westoff, for the fuck of an editing job they do day in, day out. Shout out as well to our friends at Midwest Sports. Go to MidwestSports.com. Use that promo code CR15 to get 15% off your order. But with that in mind, for our fantastic guests, Baylor head coach Michael Woodson, for our super producers Fliegner and Westhoff, from our friends at Midwest Sports, and for all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Cracked Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, and remember, we will be seeing you all soon. Take care, everyone.